Hello and welcome into the third episode of the Gridiron Frogs. Nolan, as you can see or hear, is not here, and this is me, JD, and just doing the intro this time. Nolan was not able to make this week's recording, so instead we're going to be joined by our wonderful guest, Tori. Tori, do you want to tell the people about you?
Yeah, so Tori Couch, I am a writer for killerfrogs.com. My primary sports are women's basketball, and I do help out with football quite a bit. So I'm really excited about this season. I think there's a lot of fun stuff coming up for both sports. People will notice I will have a little bit of a dip in my production here for the site coming soon. Because we're expecting our first child here at the end of the month. So just in time for football season. But do hope to be back this fall in time for basketball.
Yeah, congratulations, of course, on your new kid. And hopefully they bring good luck to not only Oklahoma State for your husband, but for TCU as well. Tori, you kind of alluded to it. There's a lot of excitement around the program right now with women's basketball. You know, Haley Van Lith is in Paris right now playing in the 3v3 tournament. TCU is on their third day of football camp as we are talking right now. And today we're actually going to be talking a little bit about the quarterback roster depth we have. You know, Tor, I think it's actually fair to say that there's more depth on this year's quarterback, you know, depth chart than there has been in probably the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, well, definitely more than last year because it was Chandler Morris, and then we had no idea what we had, which we found out what we had about midway through the season. And then 22, we surprisingly, I mean, we had depth in 22 just because Morris won the job over Duggan, who had experience. But kind of before that, yeah, there wasn't a ton of depth behind Max Duggan. And so I think this is really good that they have some depth this year, just because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, even at camp the last 2 days, there's been 5 players in red jerseys, all quarterbacks. You know, there's 2 that are going to be most likely not traveling with the team and are redshirted. But I mean, it's still like, I think, not even just for the quarterback position alone, which I know is what we're talking about, but there's a lot of depth around this team, which is not something that we're used to seeing the previous years. 2022, when TCU made their run, it was all top-end talent. You hope no one went down. Last season, you saw what happened when talent went down. You know, you kind of just talked about it, that Chandler Morris did go down, and we didn't know what we had after him. And we had Josh Hoover, who apparently doesn't like BYU because he threw for over 450 yards against them in his debut, which I don't think anyone except for actually, let me shout him out real quick, is Nick Garamonte, who covers the men's basketball side, the opposite of you. That day, I walked into the press box and Nick was right there. And I said, you know, how do you think Hoover's going to do today? And he goes, 450 yards, bucket. And I was like, wow, I love the confidence. And little did we know that that was actually what was going to happen. Yep. So, Nick, I'm going to actually clip this and put it on Twitter, too, is thankful for you. And I will never doubt anything you say ever again. But, yeah, let's kind of break down the quarterback room that we have right now. Right now, you got Josh Hoover, the second-year player from Rockwall, Texas. You got Ken Sills, the Weatherford native, who was at Vanderbilt for 2 seasons, transferred into TCU. And then you have the freshman phenom, who everyone was excited for, the TCU legacy in Haas Ganey, the Aledo kid. You know, let's kind of just start, you know, Tori, I'll let you talk about Josh Hoover first, since he's number one in what's projected so far. And then after we talk about the quarterbacks, we'll kind of give our own depth chart if it changes at all. But yeah, go ahead and tell me about Josh Hoover, what you like, what you've seen.
Yeah, like you mentioned, his first start last year was against BYU and came out and just balled. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Kind of blew expectations away. And then things kind of, as I think we all expected, kind of settled down a little bit just because teams were able to kind of have some film on him and do view things. But really, if you take out the Kansas State game, because he had 6 starts, and if you take out the Kansas State game where everybody played bad, he had over 300 passing yards in every game and at least 1 passing touchdown in all of his starts. That's really good for someone who's kind of just thrown into a little bit of a messy situation. So I was very impressed with kind of his composure all last season throughout everything, and the way he grew, the way he developed. You really felt like he emerged as a leader toward the end of the season. And Coach Sonny Dykes has talked about that Hoover has good emotional intelligence. He's kind of a quiet leader, but teammates want to be around him. And I think that's really important in your quarterback, that they trust him. Even though he missed spring practice with an injury, they still wanted to be around and they were still looking to him. I think that's really important. I do think it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to participate in the spring, just because you miss out on those reps and getting to know your new offensive line and who your running backs are and things like that. Now, obviously, he's getting those reps now, but just not having all those reps in the spring, it doesn't help. I'm not gonna say it's gonna, make him play worse or anything like that. You just wish he had a little bit more time to build those relationships. But overall, I think Hoover's a really solid option for the Frogs.
Yeah, I think there's something within there that, obviously I want to talk a little bit about Hoover's stats as well. But one thing that I want to talk about more on that you mentioned was Hoover being a leader. And a lot of the talk in the offseason, all last season when TCU was struggling, was that there was no leader presence inside the locker room. That there was a lot of, it was one, the hangover from 2022. And then there was just no one that stepped up. Even Sonny Dykes himself said, and I asked him Monday in camp, was you said that the guys didn't feel prepared often, that there was a lot of times that they just felt like there was no one leading them. Well, a lot of the reports as we got to the end of the season were people, the guys are rallying around Hoover, which is what you want to see. And Hoover was thrown in a bad situation. He kind of was just thrown in there when Chandler Morris went down. And I just think that it's like to have a guy that was able to step in and whenever the team is already down and not being able to rally around anyone and they can just rally around their freshman quarterback who, throws for 450 yards his first game, and everyone's like, where did this guy come from? Like, that is one of the greatest signs. Obviously, he's going to develop into a better player. He was hurt in the spring, and now he's, in his words, the healthiest he has felt since he got here. And I think that's really, really good omen for how the season's going to go. Obviously, you can't predict injuries, you can't prevent them. It's football, they could happen any way, shape, or form. But one thing I kind of want to harp on with Hoover is that he had 298 attempts last season passing, and only 9 interceptions, which is really, really good out of a freshman quarterback. Most of the time, you will see them with a way higher interception rate than 3% what Hoover has, just because, in high school, when you're that good, you can just kind of throw it up there and or let your talent take over. You kind of can't do that at the next level. But one thing that we did see with him last season, and we and Sonny Dykes even talked about on Monday, was that the one thing that they've worked on with Hoover a lot is not just looking for the deep shot, like Max Duggan-esque, and just looking for it. Learn to just take what's given to you, especially underneath the sticks. And especially with the new offensive style, or with the offensive style TCU plays, there's a lot of crosser short routes, and then there's a few deep shots throughout it that are, kind of over the top cover blowers. But I do think that Hoover's going to be really, really good this season. I do like what he's able to produce. And I kind of want to get your opinion on this, but I am still kind of sad about how the Chandler Morris situation ended. Like, I hate that he had to transfer out, that he couldn't stay healthy, because I genuinely think he's a good quarterback and he's a great guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, to address Chandler Morris, I do think, yeah, that was just kind of a tough way for it to end for him, because he wins the job in 22, then he gets injured almost immediately. Then he wins the job again in 23, and then he gets halfway through the season, roughly, and then he gets injured again. So it's just like you feel from him from that perspective where it's like, geez, he kind of got his shot, but never got that full opportunity to get a full year of stats. And then really halfway through last season, his numbers were trending pretty well for a true first year starting quarterback. Yes, he'd been in college for a while at that point, but his numbers were looking a little bit on track to be better than even what Duggan put up in his first year. So it's like your heart hurts for him that you're like, gosh, he just never had that full year opportunity. But I can understand why he transferred. If he was kind of seeing the writing on the wall, then maybe, hey, Hoover's probably might beat me out again. And then they're going to start looking at the portal. Maybe I need to go somewhere where I know I can take that job right away. And so I think North Texas, where he landed, is a good spot for him. And I really do wish him well. I hope he has a lot of success there.
Yeah, and then one more thing before we move on to Kinsales, I didn't want to tell you this before we started recording because it's kind of my shock factor question, is Part of the thing with Chandler Morris is what makes it worse is that his backups kind of came in and outperformed him. Is there maybe a slight quarterback talent discrepancy with like how the coaches view it? Obviously, you knew with Max Duggan in 2022 that kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. That was more heart and grit. But Josh Heupel came in and played really well, like extremely well for a freshman. Do you think that is there maybe a slight concern in you that maybe the coaching staff is not the greatest at evaluating the QB talent they have on the roster?
That's a really good question. I don't know that there's a concern. I think some, you mentioned Max Duggan's heart and grit. That's really hard to evaluate in camp or in practice. And you see flashes of that kind of stuff. And I think we saw that when he was the starter, especially in 2020 when with COVID and things just falling apart and he kind of took over. So maybe a little bit of concern. But at the same time, some of those things are just hard to predict too. So there's a little bit of that. And there's some where it's like, gosh, this guy looks so great in practice in any sport, looks great in practice. You throw him in the field or the court or whatever into the game, and you're like, they took half a step back. What's going on? So I don't know if that was the situation with Morris, just because I wasn't there day to day to see the practice side. So it does kind of raise that question a little bit, but some of that stuff is just really hard to predict.
Yeah, I think there was a. I mean, I brought it up last season on Brett's podcast with him, and we kind of talked about it off air too. Was that sometimes I just kind of question the coaching staff's, not question, but just like it's 2 years in a row now that there's been a quarterback on the roster that kind of came in and seemed to perform better with the same team, same, situation. Hoover to last year even came in and played a harder schedule than what Chandler Morris had when he was playing and still outperformed him. So it's just like, first year, Max Duggan, he's a freak of nature. I whatever. When it happens 2 years in a row, it kind of brings up questions. If for some reason Josh Hoover struggles this season and Ken Sills comes in and is having a great season, then maybe that's an off-season question we need to address maybe, this upcoming season. But we've alluded to Ken Sills enough. Tory, Ken Sills, Weatherford kid, didn't come to TCU whenever he, I don't think TCU, I don't believe TCU offered him whenever he was in
I don't believe so.
high school, and he ended up going to Vanderbilt playing in the SEC. Didn't put for SEC standards, yes, put up some pretty mediocre numbers, some human numbers, but for Vanderbilt numbers, yes, he actually had a really good season. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up if you want to start talking on him before
Yes.
I go into it.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, he's a Vanderbilt transfer. He started at Vanderbilt in 2020, so he's going to have 2 years eligibility coming to TCU, a COVID year, and then he did not play in 2022. It's interesting if you look at kind of his career arc there. He has 22 total starts, started every game in 2020, so he started his right away. Seven starts in 21, and then he got hurt, so that's why he didn't finish out the season. Didn't really play much at all in 22, and then 23 he had six starts, but his first start came in week five, which means he didn't win the starting job in camp and had to come in when the starter just was not playing well. So it's just interesting to look at kind of his career arc there. There was some coaching changes, so that always plays a factor, especially for the quarterback. And at least looking at his career stats, he threw 28 total touchdowns and just shy of 4,300 yards passing, which are both top 10 numbers at Vanderbilt all time. But and yeah, Vanderbilt's weapons aren't great and all this stuff. Those numbers don't blow me away for someone who had 22 starts at a Division I SEC school. So that's why I say his career arc to me is kind of interesting, because he had the job, lost it unforeseen due to injury, couldn't win it, but then he gets it due to somebody just not playing well, and his numbers aren't blowing me away. So it's I'm kind of torn on my feelings about Ken Seals, but I love that he has experience, and like we talked about earlier, that is going to be so important for this team going down the road, that you have two quarterbacks with Division One starting experience. Like that's huge.
Yeah, especially in the time and age of the transfer portal where most people who have the experience are going to transfer out. And it did happen with Ken Sills. He knew he was going to come here and have to battle. And as of now, all reports are saying that he's not winning the battle, but you know, we're still early in camp. We're still 29 days until TCU plays their first game, so who knows what could happen. But yeah, that what I was looking up, and you talked about it a little bit, is Seals is seventh in school history with 4,300 passing yards and ninth with 28 touchdown passes. So, yes, mediocre numbers. But for Vanderbilt terms and what he did, I think he's exceptional, right? Especially in really only two seasons. I think the one thing that kind of really stands out to me the most is he holds the school record for the highest completion percentage, 60.5%, which is really good. Like, he's an accurate passer. He's gonna get the job done. But I just think that what he brings to the quarterback room with his veteran presence and having played in the SEC against the top of the top, like, it's just great knowledge to be able to share, especially with, you know, a quarterback who only had got six starts last season and a quarterback who's just coming in from winning two straight high school championships, three straight maybe. Like, he's just gonna be, and it's crazy because he still has 2 years of eligibility. Like, it's not like he's in his last season just kind of mentoring these guys. Like, he's still plenty talented enough to be able to take their job. And, you know, when you have a quarterback coach like Kendall Briles, who people will tell you is the quarterback whisperer, like, it maybe he can bring something out of Ken Seals that Vanderbilt just wasn't able to bring out of, that can kind of challenge Hoover more for that spot. Because, you know, challenging each other is kind of what was going to bring out the best of them and really see what you have. But yeah, I do. I don't think I'm 50-50 on Ken Seals like you are. I think I'm fully on. I like Ken Seals. I don't like him more than Josh Hoover, but I like Ken Seals enough that if Hoover go, like, when Morris went down last season, like you said, we were kind of like, oh no, what do we have behind Morris? What's going to happen? Like, is Jack Besh going to play quarterback this weekend? Is JPR going to play quarterback? But if Josh Hoover was to go down, I wouldn't be like, oh man, I hope, you know, Seals can play well. Like, I'd be like, hey, next man up kind of thing. I think that they both be able to perform. Hoover a little bit. Hoover's better on his legs than I think Seals is, which is what opens up the offense more. But I think Seals would be able to run the Browns offense just fine.
And I agree with you, JD, on that. That yeah, if something happened for whatever reason, Hoover isn't playing, I don't think Seals comes in and we just, you know, the offense takes a huge nosedive or anything like that. You know, because obviously he is accurate. I just and maybe it's, you know, just Vanderbilt doesn't have some of those receiving weapons that TCU has and some of those other factors. I just, you know, I'd want to see a little bit more, but I by no means think, oh, he comes in and we just take a big old nosedive. I still think the offense would be very competitive. It wouldn't pick up right where it left off just because you have that change. But yeah, I would agree that I don't think it's just going to be like last year where we're like, well, here we go.
You know, maybe change something up and have Seals run the red zone offense. I don't know. Anything to change last year's red zone numbers, I'm all for. I am all ears for it. Last year, I think we were
I think we,
97th out of 130 FBS teams, which is abysmal. And especially considering that our margin of loss was like, I think, a negative like 35 on the season, which is like almost basically a touchdown per loss. And I don't know. Last season was a weird season, but we're on to this
It
season.
was. Yeah, but and you kind of alluded to this. I would think I wouldn't be surprised if there's a package or two for Seals, kind of, you know, different games depending on the setting, red zone, something just to mix things up. I wouldn't be shocked at all because you do have that talent and experience, and you're not as worried with him about, geez, did we use 4 games and burn a retro? Like, he's got 2 years, you know. So if you have those opportunities to use him a couple times, do it, you know, so that way he's not completely out of the offense.
Anything else you want to talk on sales a little bit?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we've hit most of the stuff, and you know, a little bit I've seen of him in spring camp. He seemed to build some relationship with the receivers. There were ups and downs, as you would expect. But it sounds like Dykes is happy with kind of the progress he's been making, and I think that's really important moving forward.
I just think with the thing with Seals is much like Hoover's, the amount of confidence they carry themselves with, it's just nice to see. But yeah, speaking of maybe interesting packages, the third quarterback on the depth chart, Haas Haney. His speed is probably the greatest in the quarterback room by a good margin. And I know we mentioned that Josh Hoover has really good legs too, but Haas can really run the ball. I think he runs like almost an 11-second flat 100-meter dash is what it was recorded at. But yeah, Haas, tell me about him.
Yeah, so like you mentioned earlier, he's from Aledo, won back-to-back state titles. So he's got that competitive juice, which is good. He's dual threat, and he was another one that he looked comfortable in spring practice. You know, was very raw because he's never played at the college level at all. But he showed a lot of versatility, and he didn't really seem scared, which I think is really important. And I think we expect him to kind of not be scared and just come in and compete right away. And I just think he brings, like you said, a lot of speed and just another layer to that quarterback room that I don't know if we've had the last couple of years.
Yeah. The thing, you know, okay, I'm going to tell you something, Tori, and we might circle back a little bit, is Haas was in his senior season, 117 for 187 with 2,094 yards and 20 touchdowns. Also rushed for 1,276 yards and 15 touchdowns. Would you say, you know, those are pretty good numbers in a 16-game mm-hmm. season?
Mm-hmm.
Ken Seals put up 2,000 yards in a 10-game season with Vanderbilt. Like, I just think there's levels to this that I don't think Haas will be able to compete for a starting spot, and I don't even think he's competing against Ken Seals for the second spot on the depth chart. I think the only true battle here is 1 and 2. I think Haas ends up getting a redshirt season, which is good. It's needed for him. He's mm-hmm. still a little bit undersized. But I think the future could be good. I'm also full team. He might want to switch to linebacker.
No, I think you make a great point. And I think that right there speaks to just, he's coming out of high school. He does not have college experience at any level, whether it's one division one, FCS, like he just doesn't have that experience.
And he barely has experience losing.
Right. Like, so, you know, that's hard to beat out somebody. Even, yeah, Vanderbilt's not a great SEC team, but it's going to be hard to beat him out. And so, like you said, I agree. I think it's really a two-person race for that starting spot. And then Haas is probably your third string. Maybe he gets in a couple games, doesn't burn the red shirt, but, you know, it's a blowout game one way or the other, and he gets in for a couple snaps just to see live action. But yeah, I agree. I think he just needs more time. You know, and I think the other thing that's tough too, we were talking about this before, is Seals has 2 years and Hoover has 3 years of eligibility remaining. You know, so it's an interesting setup for Haas, as far as kind of, you know, this is not the year he's expected to win the job, but can he put himself in a position to compete for the job down the line when he knows these other guys have years left?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not trying to talk down on Haas at all. I think he's a really, really talented player, really good kid, great family. Like, he has the intangibles to be good, but like mm-hmm. the thing from spring camp was that he threw a lot of interceptions in. Like, you hear everyone say the speed gets faster, faster, faster. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some time for him to develop and get used to it. But you know, like you just said, is like, Hoover's got 3 years. Even if Hoover comes out and has the season that fans and, you know, we kind of talked about that he can have, like, I still don't see how then you go into fall camp and spring and fall camp of like, Haas is going to challenge him for the job. Like, I just don't see a path to that realistically happening. And I think it's just kind of worries me that you could lose a player as talented as Haas to the portal, just because that's kind of what people do now. Then you have Scoble coming in 2025. TCU could still potentially flip Ty Hawkins back, and that he's competing next year, and he's the number 7 quarterback in the country right now. Like, there's a lot of different factors that can go into it that you never want to lose a player as talented as him, but like, that's kind of why, half jokingly, I said maybe a middle linebacker's position switch. He's athletic enough and talented enough that I believe he could play anywhere on the field, except offensive line or D-line. But, you know, I mean, that would be interesting to see. But, like, he could be a really good slot receiver, like JPR-like. He could be Really good middle linebacker. Like I compared him to Ty Summers. Like I think he's got the body type and the physicality type that there could be a spot on the team, but this season I think is going to be a really big development season. If he can get like 1, 2 inches taller and still maintain his speed and put on like 10, 15 more pounds of weight, I think he could be really, really good.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think there is a spot for him. We'll have to see how, we're talking long term, how that quarterback room plays out. But I don't dispute, yeah, there could be another spot for him depending on what he wants. And, that's always up to the individual player, what they want to do and how coaches present things and things like that. But I agree, he's got so much talent that you want to utilize it in some way if you can.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Kind of went through that part. I think our depth charts are going to be the same when we kind of list them right here, but I'll let you go ahead and tell me yours.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Josh Hoover as one, Ken Seals as two, and then Haas as three. Kind of like I mentioned, I could definitely see them doing some packages for Seals, just trying to keep him in the offense as much as they can. They're not worried about bringing a red shirt and the 4-game limit. Haas could see him gaining some blowouts, but still being under that 4-game limit.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much in the same boat. I can see Haas getting in at like the LIU game, second game of the season. But I also don't really think there's a lot of blowouts on TCU's schedule that it's going to be a lot tougher to get him some game speed. But Ken Seals already knowing that you have that trust and he's already had the game speed, you're able to throw him in on packages like that. I think it's just kind of varying. How close would you say the gap is between Hoover and Seals?
Probably closer than we think. Just because Seals does bring so much experience. Now, Hoover has the advantage of having been in Briles' system for a year. He's familiar with the receivers who are training, JPR, Besh, Savion Williams. Now, the running back, we don't know at the moment who the main running back's going to be. Cam Cook has been in the rotation, but they're trying different guys at that one spot. So I think Hoover has the edge just because he's got a little bit more familiarity with everybody. So I don't expect Seals to be him out, but I think he's really going to push Hoover to be better. And I think that's going to be really important.
Yeah, I think one thing that also we haven't really talked about, and I don't know how big of a factor it will have, is there's a lot of technology changes this season. Quarterbacks are gonna be able to hear their head coaches through their helmets this season, which Sonny Dykes has already said that there's gonna be a lot of times where normally TCU would run hurry up, and now they're not going to. They're just gonna huddle up because once that play kicks off, or once the speaker kicks off at 15 seconds, like, it benefits the offense to not run to the line of scrimmage until those 15 seconds are up because now the defense can't audible or get told what to do from their coach. So I think it's just if TCU does run a slower system offense, then I think that plays to Seals' strength. If they run the quicker Brile system that we saw last season, then that is a Hoover advantage that I don't know. I like you said, I do agree that I think the gap between Hoover and Hop and Seals is a lot closer than we think and people think, but they still got 4 more weeks to sort it out.
Yeah, and a lot can change, but it sounds like coming out of practices so far, because I know you've been to a couple and you're going to the one today. It sounds like Hoover kind of has the leg up right now. Again, anything can change, but it sounds like he's kind of been the front runner.
Yeah, I think, it's Hoover's to lose, and if Hoover loses it, then I think it tells us more about Ken Seals than it does Hoover. I don't think it's because Hoover performed bad. I think it's just Seals played above what we why they recruited him, essentially, basically. Like they knew he could be a good quarterback. All right, Tori, anything else you kind of want to touch on?
I think we've hit on everything related to the quarterback room. I think it is going to be a lot of fun just to see how this plays out. And assuming Josh Hoover keeps that starting role, just to have that continuity from the end of last season, I think it's going to be really big, especially starting on the road in a different time zone, a place you've never been, like
On a
having
Friday
that
night,
on a
like
Friday night. Like, it's just having that some of that consistency going into the season. It's not a huge thing, but it's something. that TCU didn't have last year, and I'm hoping it'll play a beneficial role.
I'm excited to see what either Hoover or Seals can do this season. I do think that Hoover being the leader that everyone has talked about so far this offseason does play a bigger role too, that if now your leader is getting benched because he got outperformed, I think it's kind of could be an issue. Also could be the same thing as it happened the last two seasons where Seals was comes in and he's the better quarterback now. There's a lot of things that we could see change throughout the season, or maybe could happen that maybe start getting discussed at the end of the season. But I do think Hoover will live up to expectations. I mean, again, Nick can probably tell you his exact stat line for this upcoming season because he knows everything. Corey, this is a lot of fun. I'm glad you came on. So it wasn't a one-man show and me just talking to myself the whole time. I'm sure we'll have you on again before the season starts, and hopefully before your baby gets out of here and everything gets crazy. Do you want to plug your socials here so that way people can find you and keep up to date with you?
Yeah, so I'm on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Tory Couch underscore TX. That's my main one is Twitter. So yeah, find me there. And then my stuff is on killerfrogs.com. So follow me there as well.
Yeah, make sure you check out all her women's basketball stuff. We're getting close to that part too, where it's getting really exciting. Should be a pretty special season this
Well,
year.
and I'll throw this out because you mentioned Haley Van Wyth. I've been trying to watch as much of the 3-on-3 as I can. Fortunately, USA has not won a game. I don't know about today's game, but they went 0-2 to start. But it's been really fun to watch her and just kind of get a glimpse at what type of player she's going to be. So, if people are into women's basketball and want to get a glimpse at her, definitely encourage y'all to check that out because it's been fun to watch.
I'm excited for the upcoming season more so than I am the men's basketball season. I covered a few women's basketball games last season, and they're honestly a lot of fun. Like it's and I think one thing this too is like with the women's basketballs, there's not as packed as a stadium, which sucks for them, but like you can hear them communicate more. So it's like it's really cool from like my point of view, being able to like hear them and know what they're calling and what they're talking on the floor. So it's a lot of fun to watch. Tori, it's great having you. Should get this video out pretty soon, the episode out, and I'm sure we will reconvene next week. Don't know what day, don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll be back next week. Thank you guys for listening.